Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining. I'm your host, Alex Wolf, and my co-host here, Ryan Vera. And welcome to Codes Podcast, the podcast where we talk about codes, the solutions to everyday issues and ancient wisdoms and future technologies integrated into ourselves. Last week, we had the kickoff episode where we talked about what are codes and how, you know, certain codes can impact your life and send you on a different trajectory and give you a different direction. And, you know, sometimes they act as an epiphany in your life and it could totally change your life. And some of these codes can be very pragmatic and very tangible and kind of like an asset, kind of like a key, where they open up the locks or the doors to different pathways, and we get to explore these pathways. And Ryan and I both agreed that this week's code is a really big one and can definitely change your life once it's integrated and embodied. And that is the code of trust. Obviously a big one. So Ryan, I'll throw it over to you. What is the code of trust and what does it mean for you?
Code of trust. Thanks for the introduction there for the listeners. When you were speaking code of trust too, I think it's a muscle that's always being challenged as we move forward into the game of life. And there's always going to be things that come in and challenge our level of trust. This morning, I had some insights come in what trust is. Now, I think most people, when they say trusting yourself or what trust is, what they're doing is trying to come up with the idea of trust and how to trust their choices based on the 3D world. Mm-hmm. And what do I know now that I can use to trust my choices as I move forward? But in actuality, when I tap into trust, I trust things. The deepest layer of trust for me is to allow things to unfold as they are in an unpredictable way. And then stepping back and trusting the greater essence or the greater energy that's guiding me. And I don't want to get it too much into different people's beliefs or names or language, but we could say the soul. Mm. And to ask the question, is it, does my soul know better than me? And if my soul knows better than me, the biggest step for me to learn trust is to get out of my own way, allow things to present themselves as they unfold and interact with what comes up, but completely trusting that everything is there to support me and that level or whatever I've created in front of me is there for me to navigate on a soul level. When it comes to the identity or the personality of Ryan, learning trust to work with the soul at more of a 3D layer, as things are presented to me, I learned to trust by taking a step forward into things that might be uncomfortable or might be scary or that I might have fear from. And as I take that step forward, I get feedback. Mm-hmm. And how well I adjust whatever feedback I get and however well I handle that feedback allows me to do that rep of trust. Mm-hmm. And this becomes a... kind of a consistency, becomes kind of a path, like a momentum, right? So the more I learn to trust myself is the more I step forward into things that make me uncomfortable, that I fear. Not big leaps. We can do big leaps and learn, but one step at a time, and then see what feedback comes back and how well I adjust to it.
Well said. I really like how you started off there, Ryan, like that trust is a muscle that you work, like you work a muscle at the gym. So the more, you know, reps you have, or the more choices that you make or the more decisions. But yeah, let's go with choices, because that really resonates with me as well. So the more choices that you, good choices that you make, will kind of flex that or work that muscle, and you start to gain and build your self-trust. Mm-hmm. And are there some, you know, when you're reflecting, or are there some big choices that you've made in your life that have really, really added to your self-trust? Or is it more of a daily small choices accumulated, or is it both?
I would say that you're saying that it's having a level of awareness when you need to tap into trust, and also understanding that you might not have the full perspective when an event or a situation comes up. And when you're saying that, it, to me, it's more of a pulse or a frequency, which we talked about in the last episode, is that embodiment of signal or source. And like, you know, for example, when you were just saying that, how many times have we been stuck in negative thoughts or negative outcomes, right? And, you know, there's a saying like 99% of the things you worry about never happen, right? Because we've actually explored it with our consciousness, those probabilities. But when we get stuck in negative outcomes or negative thinking or what could happen in the scenario, the act of stepping back from that and then trusting that it's there for us to learn through and learn from, and then taking that step, that sort of action is, I believe, the best way to make a choice, is to step away from it and then step into it and see what happens, building trust. So when you ask like some of the biggest choices I've made that have built my trust, probably rooted from all the shitty choices I made leading to, you know, that big event where all I had was to trust myself, because the external world that I relied on and the people I relied on and the things I relied on were more a dissolution or an illusion or a reflection to the things I wished I had in myself. And when we continue to ignore the signals of stepping into the things that we fear, we usually create a scenario for ourselves where we're stuck in these negative thoughts or negative thinking, and we have to make a choice, and that choice starts to move the energy. And when we start to move the energy and move forward, it creates momentum. So, you know, like going back, I think in my mid to late 20s, I was at a time where I had lost everything in business. You know, I was down to zero. And, you know, all the things that I thought were lifeboats and supports around me, you know, you start to mirror those things and not be able to really resonate. And I think it's by design, because the soul is, you know, designing this because it wants you to learn trust. So it gives you all these opportunities. Mm-hmm. At that point, when you're kind of sitting there, you have to trust yourself to move the energy and to start going. And I remember I was at a very dark time then, where I'd lost everything. Things were changing. Relationships that were true showed up. Relationships that weren't didn't. And that's when I tapped into creativity. But from then, I learned to trust myself, you know, to take that creativity, to take what I lost as a big lesson and create that forward momentum. And I mean, that was the time where I started my path towards being a professional race car driver, you know. Mm. And a few years after that, I'm, you know, making history for Canada and Brazil in a formula car. And it obviously was hard, but that energy built up to pull me out of that. That big choice to, you know, take responsibility for everything that was around me that I created was what helped me build that trust. And I think that trust from that choice to not rely on anything and move forward was what built that deep inner trust in me to keep that momentum and move out of that. So the results mm-hmm. of the cause and effect were that, you know, I moved into you know, being a professional race car driver from losing everything. So yeah, I don't know if that's a clear answer, but there's an energy there that I can remember. So I've taught myself to tune into that energy. And mm-hmm. it's when I'm kind of locked into mistrust, the only thing to get you out is trust. And in that factor, I think the lesson is there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally lands for me, Ryan. You know, being a race car driver, there's a lot of responsibility involved. And there's, of course, you got to trust yourself. You got to trust your instincts. You got to trust your skills, your abilities from moment to moment. And that is all cultivated from within. And that's the way I see trust, is it's very much a ripple effect that starts within and then ripples out, you know, starting from ourselves and then into our relationships, into our team or organizations, and then outward from there into what could be a market, you know, and that could be related in any, in many examples. Let's say using race car driving, you know, it starts with yourself and then it goes out to your, you know, your people close to you and your team and your, you know, the guys in your microphone and stuff like that. And it goes out to your pit crew, and then it goes out to the organization, and then it goes out to the guys promoting you. Like, you gotta, it all starts with trust, you know? So I see that. And I could relate very much as a pilot. You know, I was a pilot, I still am, but I flew commercially for about 20 years, 18 years. And it all started with self-trust. You know, it all started with being able to trust myself to manage the airplane, you know, and then it, as the flights got bigger and longer and more people on board, now other people are putting their trust in me. You know, it's not just a machine that they're trusting me with now, it's people's lives. And so trust became a very big one for me as well. And and then I like to take note of these, you know, circumstances or situations to even look back on my life to reinstill that trust, you know, like for example, like, you know, you did these all these races and all over the world. And I can imagine like looking back to those times to reinstill self-trust, like, well, if I could do that, I can do something like this, you know, and I could do simple things in life. And it's a good reminder, you know. So besides the race car driving, is there anything that you look back on your life and that helps reinstill that trust on a daily basis today?
Yeah, what really resonated there, what came up while you were streaming that, is what we all know is experience equals trust, right? And while you're talking about race car, I could get into it, but there's an interesting factor when you're racing formula cars too. There's aerodynamics, and as a pilot, you understand. So a formula car is not really a car; it's an upside down airplane, right? Mm-hmm. There's downforce instead of lift. And the car is actually, you're actually kind of like laying in a lounge chair, really, really reclined. And the car is almost built around you. And then they put wings on it. And there's a certain point where your tires let go at a certain speed around corners. And obviously the engineer we have to trust, and there's a lot of feedback involved in a race car. My engineer was a British race car driver in my Formula 3 days. And we relied very much on the fine-tuned feedback of how the car felt, and like the car became an extension of our body. So like feedback is very important with trust too, being able to interpret feedback as you go. But I remember like there's a point where you don't feel the aerodynamics until after they work. So you have to trust. There's a point where you're taking a corner and the car feels like it's going to go into the wall, and you have all of this energy come up, and all of this doubt and all of these things come in your head. It's very unnatural. And there's a voice in your head, and this every race car driver knows this, is like, keep your foot flat. Like you're on the gas.
Mm.
And obviously in a race car, if you lift the acceleration, it acts as a brake, right? Mm. Because you're changing. And around the corner, you keep your mind is telling you different, but you actually keep the accelerator flat. And there's a point where you cross over from the mechanical acceleration to the downforce. And it catches you after you've trusted the car to do its thing.
Uh-huh.
And the aerodynamics go whoosh, suck you down, diffuser, the wings and everything. And it's a very interesting thing because if you jumped in a race car or if you jumped in a plane, you obviously have to trust how it works from working with it. But I had to like learn to trust the race car as an extension of myself. And I had to learn to trust myself in the race car through multiple experience. And then I wouldn't be able to have that trust to take the corner of the aerodynamics if I didn't experience it already.
Mm-hmm.
So translating over, like, experience equals trust. And life is all about experience.
Mm-hmm. And
allowing ourselves to experience things but not getting stuck in them. Let's transfer over this to business or a relationship. How we go through multiple, I mean, I don't know how rare it is. I know it's out there, but your first love, especially as a man, and you kind of have to get your heart broken at one point.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
That is, you know, men in our 40s. And like my son is, you know, 10 months old. And I told my wife, mm-hmm. that it's like, you know, he's gonna be a heart stopper for all these girls, but I hope he breaks his heart early. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh no, but she knew it was right. You know, so it's like trusting the experience of the times where things didn't look right and mm-hmm. trust that there is a greater plan.
Mm.
Because a lot of people say there's a greater universal plan. But mm-hmm. when you put it down, like you said the other day, you said, like, I'm responsible for creating everything myself, which is an advanced way of being.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're at a point where when you're in a situation, which I don't really believe in situations, but you're in an event or you've coalesced something to happen for you, the ability to trust the greater plan of your individual soul,
mm.
exactly where you need to be in order to learn the lessons for the next relationship, right? You may date somebody and then because you find your worthiness in another person, you might have an unworthiness program. And then the next person, like, I'm not going to do this again. And the next person comes along and you're like, this person is so different. And then you realize you get in, you get past the honeymoon stage, you'd be like, oh my God, it's like the same person, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now you have the experience to tap.
Yes. It,
like you're saying,
mm-hmm.
we can use our memory or our imagination to go back to certain parts. We can go back to the pain part where it's like, okay, like I don't want to get hurt again. I'm not doing this again. Or you can go back to that same part where it was like, wow, I learned that lesson. So you were tapping into that thing, like you just said. And now we can bring that back into our present moment where everything happens. And we can use that as a perception. And we can step mm-hmm. up and say like, okay, I will adjust how I look at this
mm-hmm.
and get through. So, I mean, many relationships for me, you know, currently I'm married for 7 years and mm-hmm. done it without all the heartbreak in women and relationships before
mm-hmm.
and in business too. You know, as entrepreneurs, you and I know it's a game of ebbs and flows and ups and downs and this and that. And you just learn to trust the people around you that stick around and you learn to learn from each other. But you learn, like, if you truly believe in what you're doing, you understand that eventually you're going to refine your message and refine what you're doing, and you look left and right and the people swimming next to you are really the people you build trust with. But it takes time. It takes challenges together, challenges to yourself. But at the macrocosm, the more, you know, if we're unaware of the trust we're building naturally, you know, then we're always going to be a victim of our own circumstances, beliefs, and thoughts. When we start to tune in to understanding, like, we don't have to take these big leaps of trust. We just need to build awareness around each step that we take into the unknown
mm-hmm.
and then adjust, right? So mm-hmm. tapping in, you know, to former experiences, not as fears, but as like these layers where you had to build the trust, is definitely like something I use all the time, you know, and that takes practice because we get locked into our fears and thoughts all the time, right?
Totally. No, well said. And yeah, allow me to synthesize a little bit there. A lot came up when you were sharing that. That was great. So what I'm getting is experience is the greatest teacher. And experience is the teacher, therefore, of trust, because we get to learn through these experiences. And now we start to build our trust over and over. And then we get to start to trust in the experience, which is trusting in life. So the way I see it is, imagine you starting to embody self-trust, and then you're also embodying self-trust, and then you're also trusting in life to unfold the way that it's going to unfold now. Now there's this, you know, symbiotic trust going on. You trust yourself and you trust in life, and you're just, that feels very, very powerful. And then, you know, you talk about heartbreak. I believe that heartbreak is necessary. It's a necessary experience. It's a necessary teacher. And sometimes we need to have heartbreak over and over to actually open the heart up, to crack it open, so that it wasn't, you know, closed off. But the more and more that we experience this pain, this teacher, now the heart is open. And when the heart is open, we're actually allowing life to happen. We're allowing it to unfold. And, you know, this state of allowing is, again, symbiotic with trust, because we're trusting life to unfold. So yeah, really cool how that all syncs together. And trusting life is, you know, ends up being a reflection of trusting oneself. So that was really cool.
Yeah. Imagine you were like, just for fun, imagine you were like this spirit, this soul, Alex, big Alex, float around. You're like, I need to learn what trust is, or I need to learn what love is, or worthiness. I'm going to create a level where my avatar, my embodied consciousness, experiences heartbreak. Uh-huh. Because I can't learn the true depth of what it is to be in my heart without the opportunity to go through those lessons. And at the end of it all, which there is no end, right? If we don't look at it as endless, but we're finding the deeper layers through experience. We're finding the deeper layers of what it means to trust or to feel worthy or to feel love through us exploring through these human avatars in different levels. And learning to trust that we always have the tools available for us, and we always have everything is there to support us, to pull from, but it's not going to be done for us. And as soon as we put our power outside ourselves to think that, well, something's going to come save me, or somebody's going to come along and fix this, we give our power away and we no longer can access these tools to teach us the trust. And this is also part of, you know, this reality here in this video game of a reality, is that there's both, you know, dark and light here. There's both things that are designed to pull us away from learning these lessons. Mm-hmm. It's hard to walk on the path sometimes. It's difficult. So the more we continue to flex this muscle of trust, or the more we continue to step into the unknown and trust that we always have the tools, that's what signal is source. It's creation, creativity, right? And there's always creativity that comes in and creates new scenarios or new openings or new things we never even thought of to help us release that trapped energy when we feel distrust. Mm-hmm. But we have to tap into it. Mm-hmm. And there's little things alongside that pull us off our path. But that's part of the game. And I would say this game of life is a level 10, you know? This reality is... it's not an easy one, but it's a one that makes you really strong going through it.
I agree. I think if we've gotten to this part of the game and we're aware that the game is going on, then it was by choice as well. We probably chose to be at this level of the game at this time, in this you know, in this era or this eon. And, you know, I'll just reiterate it again, because it, and that's why this episode, we started off with episode two on trust, is because it's so vital to be able to, you know, to embody this code, to move forward. And I personally believe it's necessary to really make an impact, because it really impacts everything. And I'll get into a little bit further, but once one embodies trust, things move a lot faster, and there's a speed that goes along with trust, because, you know, I'll use a simple example. It's like, if I ask you, Ryan, hey Ryan, can you, you know, send this package for me, or can you, you know, go and talk to this person for me? You'll probably respond with, yeah, sure, you know, where and when, just send me the coordinates, and, you know, the package will arrive in a couple of days, or the, you know, you'll go meet this person in a couple of days. But that's because you trust me, and we've built trust. And if you didn't trust me, then, you know, there could be a lot of back and forth of questions and this and that, and we could miss an opportunity to have a meeting with this third party, or get something where it needs to be on time. So I've seen this, you know, especially in business, when there's a trust, things move at a faster speed. And obviously there's due diligence involved, and you know, it's good to research things and go through contracts and stuff like that. You know, there's obviously lessons to learn there, but and then, you know, having the right people in place to do these things is it creates an alignment. And this alignment, when people are aligned in trust, wow, things can really move really quickly, and you can make a great impact, because now you have multiple people on the same wavelength. So yeah, it starts with oneself, self-trust, and then it ripples out to the relationships around us. So for the listeners, I'm just going to name off a few examples of how do you build that self-trust. You know, we talked about going back into our archives of experiences, of things that we've done, and, you know, challenges, flexing the muscle, working through these things to go back through self-trust. I like to even write down my choices, my choices that I've made in my life, on a yearly basis, on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis, sometimes on a daily basis. I'll just write down all the good choices I've made to reinstill that, that feeling of self-trust. And I'll get into a few more, but Ryan, what are some other ways besides these that we can, that the listeners at home can build self-trust?
Yeah, what really came up for me talking about that, an example, right? If you've built a good layer of trust, all the information is always there. Let's picture like the Matrix with all of these codes of green codes coming down and everything. Everything is there. Now, if we have the ability to kind of get good or some sort of level of mastery with our attention, we can start to open up these little data packs in between our experiences and the events. So let's say if we imagine that, you know, you called somebody and you trusted them to call you back at a certain time or to do a task. And that task, let's not say like it, between two black and white, either wasn't done or done, but let's say it was done late, or let's say that it wasn't done properly. Now there is a relationship there. Now there could be a different scenario. There could be that person was sick, got in a car accident, busy, phone died, which happens, right?
Circumstances, yep.
Yeah, that challenges you to like, how well do you know that person? Because how many times we text somebody, they didn't text us back, and then all of a sudden our thoughts are like, do they like me? What did I do wrong? That is the codes though, for us to start to explore and trust, not, you know, that also the codes that brings out our unworthiness patterns, our lack of trust in ourselves. As we explore these things, we feel these energies moving around inside of us, but a lot of us don't want to feel them. A lot of us try to get away from this, or we try to justify that whether we're right or wrong, which is kind of locking us into more polarization or more separation from the event. But let's say like somebody doesn't, we message somebody, they don't get back to us on something important. The day goes on, they have a message back, your attention starts going there more. You know, you might be busy, but at the end of the day, be like, how come this person hasn't messaged us back yet? And you start thinking, well, multiple scenarios. And this goes back to the 99 things that we worry about it never happening. You think like, well, maybe this happened. You start going extremes first, right? Or sometimes lighter. Well, maybe they're busy. They don't message you back even longer. And you're like, well, maybe something happened to the extreme. Like I know this person, this and that. And then the uncomfortable feelings start to come up. Like, is there something I did? Is there something in our relationship that I wasn't aware of or that I need to work on as mirroring myself? And we start to feel these energies move around in us. And I think this is the best, absolute best time to sit in those energies and see what comes up without attaching like narratives to them or stories, because we want to always attach stories to what's coming up. But just feel them out, feel the energies moving around inside and allow them to show you things that you've never seen before. When that finally, that person does, you know, message you back, you have all this data to compare to what actually happened or to what they said, right? And maybe they were busy. Maybe there was some energy there that needed to be cleared. And now it's the opportunity for you to, you know, change the next way or change the interaction. Because if you message somebody and they haven't messaged you back, you've felt a lot of energy in between it. There's been a lot of data there. Now, the same choice that you would have made if they messaged you back right away to the same choice that if they messaged you back the next day or later, going to change based on your experience of feeling that energy out. So I think like the task here is to just start sitting with the energies that move around, because they are direct feedback, like the race car. You know, it's like if this tire feels or my brake bias is out, or if the wing, same as an airplane flying, that feedback is really important. But ignoring that feedback is what leads us to more polarization, more judging the person rather than their actions, which is, you know, a very ancient saying, you know, judge people by their actions, not
their words,
you know, not them, right? It's like, if somebody doesn't do something over a long period of time, or somebody does something over a long period of time, there's some sort of imbalance there, or there's some imbalance in the relationship. And it's up to us, and it's an opportunity for us to either, you know, correct things in ourselves and correct things in that relationship, or polarize it and blame that person for this type of, that person is like this. I've had bad days where I haven't got back to people. You know, I have a life, everyone has complicated lives. If somebody continues to do that over a long period of time, you know, there's a pattern there, right? From lack of trust that they need to learn. So in our response, the more aware we are of ourselves and how we respond to things, feedback, the more we can actually embody the lessons to reflect back to that person. But yeah, I would say like when things happen, when there's lack of trust or something you don't know, unpredictable, that's natural. And to just sit and watch the things that come up. There's a lot of data, you know? Codes or pulling packets from the matrix in that stage, right?
Totally. Yeah, there's we might have touched on this last week too, but it's still valid. It's another code is, you know, there's something that happens, and then there's a space, and in that space, it's a good time to reflect. It's a good time to feel. It's a good time to be the observer of your thoughts, and you know, see what stories we're trying to come up with. And it's really a good opportunity for us just to allow and have trust that life, God, source, you know, the universe is working in our favor, right? And that's and it's a good time to practice that, because usually, you know, my experience when I'm in that state, 9 times out of 10, maybe more, things just work themselves out, you know? And it was like, it's only a story that I'm creating in my mind that, to fill that space, but there's better things that I could do in that space, you know? So that's a really good reminder. And thank you for sharing that. I think the listeners are really going to appreciate that. Okay. So we talked about what to do in those times where doubt might sink in just trust in life, trust that things are going to work out. And by doing this, you start to build credibility with yourself. You start to, you know, when you're acting in from a space of trust, and allowing, you start to be in integrity. You get to have more trust in your capabilities to perform and to execute and get things done. And then you'll start to see these results over and over. So this starts to build that first layer of self-trust that we, you know, we agree is so vital. Because without that layer of self-trust, then it's nearly impossible to build trust in relationships. So that brings me to trust in relationships. And I have a few, Ryan, that I could share with the listeners that, you know, how do you build trust in relationships? You've let's say one has built enough self-trust that now you want to build that relationships with a loved one or a friend or a colleague. Here's some examples that I use on a daily basis to build trust in relationships. One is to have, you know, walk the talk and talk the walk, you know, like, so if you say you're going to do something, you do it, you know, and then that starts to build trust in people. Hey, he said he was going to do that. He did it. He came through. And just be very clear with what you're going to do and what you say, you know, don't have to mince words and it doesn't have to be a big, long story. Just talk straight and walk straight, you know? So that's one for me. Another one is a big one is respect, you know, treat people with respect and usually it comes back with respect. And it's a really good way to build trust is just be respectful to people. See everybody on the same playing field, you know, no pedestals, nobody's better than you. Nobody's worse than you. Just treat everyone with respect. And that usually starts to build trust as well. Being transparent is another one for me, Ryan. You know, very transparent with what I want out of a situation or what I don't want out of a situation, because then it doesn't leave much for guessing. And there's a book called Crucial Conversations where it talks about, you know, the more direct and transparent you are, it really gets down to the brass tacks of the conversation. And I find that's a really good one to build trust. I have a few more, Ryan. Is there any that are coming up for you with how to build trust in relationships, that next layer of the trust ring, we could say?
Yeah. So like you say, like the archives that, excuse me, that we both. One thing I'm very proud about is my marriage and my relationship. That's been 7 years. And the trust layer there is at a point where we don't need to manage it at all. It was built and it's a certain frequency that we've over time, we you know, over the years, like when you go through enough relationships and then, you know that this one, you're either really drawn to it to go through a really big lesson, or you're really drawn to it because you want to create another life from it, which has been a big code for me to continue, because having our first child 10 months ago and having a child with somebody, you really need to have a deep trust, because you're bringing a soul into this world. And everything that is in your relationship is going to be imprinted and reflected down onto the soul. Now, I'm not saying there's a good or bad, but there's a quality. And some of the things that my wife and I couldn't complete in our soul journey, some of the traumas that were passed down that we did our best with the tools we had, will get passed down to learn. And deal with that, because now he has the opportunity to learn the things that we couldn't learn and to explore life as it is. But, you know, we did a home birth and we did a natural birth, and that is a big layer of trust. And that was a ceremony for us, because it wasn't easy. I had no idea. I had no idea what it was going to be like. And, you know, when you watch the movies or different things and people talk about it, it's like, I thought I was going to be smoking mapacho, which is a Peruvian tobacco. It's the original tobacco before it was taken and turned into a poison. I thought I was going to be smoking mapacho with my boys, waiting outside the room. Baby would come in. But it was not like that. I was actually with her the whole night, helping her. And there's a point where the doulas and the midwives that call us back when she leaves. And it's when this big mother spirit comes in, and it's this natural, like, mother being that comes in that helps with the process. And the birthing process is very much, you're just along for the ride. Like, my wife was just along for the ride once it starts. And going into it, I was in there, and she was going through, you know, the amount of pain that it takes to bring a baby in is just, I am humbled of the process. Like, us men hold a lot, you know, but our women, without them, like, the life wouldn't continue. Like, without
sure.
them. And I remember there was a point where it got pretty intense, and she looked at me, and she's like, what's going on? And we're in the birthing pool, and she's like, and I was like, I'm scared. What's going on? Help. And because I was in a relationship so long, and that I trusted the process so much from the outside, I didn't feed her fear at all. I said, you need to push. You came here to do this. And then she looked at the midwife, and she's like, her name is Monica. She's like, Monica, how much longer? What's going to happen? And Monica said, it's up to you. Could be hours, could be 30 minutes. Yeah.
Right.
And the fact that we didn't feed the fear.
Yeah.
She had this empowerment to trust the process. And, you know, 30 minutes later, our son was born. And beautiful ceremony. But that process of our relationship over the 7 years led to that moment, led to that birthing process. And, like, that trust is carried down to our son now as guardians for him. And in a relationship, we went through lots of times. My wife's from Russia, and you know, like, there were times where she's like, I'm going back to Russia. And I'll be like, and there's times where I, like, go back to Russia, you know? And, like, she came from Russia to Canada, and we had to go through quite a bit of residency stuff over 2 years and change our lives quite a bit. And through that process, we built a lot of trust in the relationship to where we had to use, where we had a choice, you know, we had a choice to trust that we wanted to be together and go through whatever we had to do and all the challenges, or not.
Mm-hmm.
And over that time, that's something I can really, really build on. And that layer is very important. And I would say the lesson here is, you know, you as a pilot for multiple years, me as a race car driver, and also a skydiver, pro skydiver, and relationships, is that as you build trust, you also build this foundation of trust that you can prove. Mm-hmm. And through experience and events over time, which is called proof of work over time, you start to build these layers where the things that you're looking at outside that you're trying to achieve, you no longer look at them because you've embodied them.
Mm.
And to trust the process, to trust that there's no shortcuts in building.
Mm. Mm.
And I think one of the things here is also to, like, also understand, like, what direction you're going.
Say that again, Ryan.
Like, what direction you're going, you know?
Right.
You should get feedback soon enough if you are paddling in the wrong direction. If, what do you
right.
want? You know, what
right.
are you, what are your deep desires? Is your deep desires to, you know, have a loving relationship, a bonding relationship? Yes. Okay. Then what are you willing to do to learn from that and go through it? And are you compounding trust in that process?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's like,
well said,
you reflected back the lessons we need to learn trust, as long as we get out of our way and are willing to go through them. And also, like, also know when it's not serving us.
Right. Right. Well said, Ryan, and beautiful story. It's a tremendous example of trust in a relationship cultivated, you know, for 7 years. It's incredible, especially in today's age. And I know you guys have been through a lot together, and it ripples out with everything that you guys do. So congratulations. Take my hat off to you. I'm going to just name a few more things for the listeners that can help build trust in relationships. And as we know, relationships is such a, you know, it's almost life in general is relationships. So, you know, take these golden nuggets, write them down. I won't get too into them for the sake of time, but we talked about a bunch and Ryan shared here. So a few other ones is to show loyalty. When things are tough, it's easy to bail, but, you know, show loyalty to people and that will build trust. Get better. And that means just, you know, constantly put energy into getting better, improving your skills. You know, iron sharpens iron. It's a big one I love. And that will start to create trust with people. They're going to always see that you're always putting in the work to get better. Listen first. You know, that was a big one that really helped my relationships and my career as well, is to listen to people. People have codes, people have knowledge, people have wisdom. But if you're not listening first and you're a bit eager to share, you'll miss out these codes and you'll miss what people are trying to share with you. What's another one? Oh, right the wrongs. You know, mistakes are going to happen. Life doesn't always go the way that you expect it, but make the effort to make wrongs right, and you'll definitely build trust with people. Confront reality. You know, the opposite of that is to avoid reality or avoid those uncomfortable situations or circumstances or people. Just face it, and this will build trust within relationships. Be accountable. Accountability is a big one for building trust with people. Take ownership, take responsibility. Ryan and I talk about responsibility a lot, and it's a big one. And meet your commitments. If you're going to make commitments, do your absolute best to make them and meet them. And this will go such a long way in building trust with people. And once you've built this trust with these relationships, you know, your loved ones, your family, your friends, your team, you'll start to see that this starts to ripple out now into the other ring, the next ring, which would be like an organization or your work or your business. And we talked about that, is having, when everybody starts to embody this trust, now you have alignment and things start to move down the river with a faster speed, you know, and things get done in a faster speed. And then once that organization is on a certain speed, now you can really make an impact on the next ring, which what I would say is like the market. So now your company is doing something well, you're a group of people, you're all in trust, you're all in alignment. And now, you know, all these people are moving with such integrity and embodiment of that integrity that now you're starting to make an impact on whatever market that you're in. And that's a beautiful thing. Now you're impacting, you know, a lot more people, hundreds of people, dozens of people, thousands or millions of people. And that's awesome. So just a little quick recap. Starts with self-trust. It leads out into your relationships, then your organizations, and then a bigger market. So it's the code of trust, such a big code. Brian, anything in closing here to wrap up?
Yeah, you were saying, listen, right? We have 2 years and 1 month of reason, right?
That's right.
Listening to yourself. I do want to throw something in there.
Sure.
I'll throw an ending in there. And yeah, like definitely what you're saying is like when everyone trusts themselves inside an organization, which is a beauty, you know, and it takes time and it takes experience and it takes years and it takes the toughness, but that's when things really take off, because when you have this signal of trusting each other in your internal core and internal business, it almost like reflects back the people that you don't trust from coming in. It also like creates a frequency where people can learn and step up. So as you say, like you build it from the core, everyone goes through, and then you start to teach the people around you and they start to tune into these layers. And then it goes all through the business and everything you do. And I mean, like then that you're walking on your path, you're walking on signal, you're walking on creativity. And that's when a team can come together, a relationship between two men and a woman, or you know, a man and a robot, depending, or a relationship between, you know, friends and business partners. But yeah, one thing I wanted to ask too is, and one thing I want to bring up is like when not to trust yourself.
Mm.
You know, when not to trust yourself. And what came up for me is your code, your big code that you gave me when I met you was Godspeed. This code was so profound because I never really thought about what Godspeed was, but I already knew what it was. But you told me the code and it just put everything together. It was a big, big change for me. Yeah, and I don't want to bring up 10-minute blocks, but
yeah.
You know what a 10-minute block is. If you don't, you will at some point. But ten Godspeed. So when not to trust yourself, let's say you were in a romantic relationship for a long time and you just broke up. And you're in a space where you're like not thinking right, your head's not right. You may be, you know, trying to fill the gaps or not feel the events that happened in that time. And, you know, you get past that point. And the things you were thinking then, like, I got to get back with her, or like, I don't, this myself, I need to change the all this, like, whatever, the things that came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fast forward like 3 years, 4 years, and you look back, like, oh my God, I'm glad I didn't do the things, like, I'm glad I let it play out. So there's times like when we go through these big lessons, right? And like, this is about trusting the greater unfolding of things. But there's times where we go through these big life events, our identities do, where we have to give space for us to like settle these lessons. We don't all of a sudden learn the lessons right after an event, especially a big one, especially in relationships. But we have to give time. And I know you did that. You know, you had a discipline that you did for a long time, but you have to give yourself time to kind of let the energy settle and let yourself trust to work your way out of that challenge. And this is Godspeed, right? It's like there's a timing for things, and there's a process of being human, and there's a process of having to be able to feel the consequences, the cause and effect, the process of you don't just rapidly move through lessons. You have to you have to feel the lessons, and you can get better at feeling the lessons over time. But in those states, like when something happens, learning to trust that that's the process in all that noise of like your thoughts and heartbreak and all of this from things, that trust is probably the hardest you're ever going to go through, because you can't trust your ideas, your mind, your thought, everything. Your brain is, you know, program different. There's the amygdala is grown in size and it's hijacking your logical thinking. But trusting that Godspeed, trusting that, you know, it's a greater plan, that your bigger self, your soul is like, hey, just, you know, don't make any choices this week, right?
Yeah. Trust the process for sure.
Yeah.
Trusting the process is a big one. And I love that you brought up Godspeed. I'm sure that's going to be a whole episode on codes for itself. I look forward to that one. So thanks for alluding to that one. And I'd love to dive in with that on another episode. And yeah, just as another, it's a good one. You bring up a good question. How, you know, when to not trust yourself, or when do you see distrust? For me personally, a good way I know when, whether not to trust my decision or not, is if I'm not comfortable, or if I don't feel like I can tell this to a lot of people, like, then usually it's on the wrong path. Like if I'm doing something on my own and I'm not able to tell, you know, my closest friends, or what I call the council members of my life, with the people that I trust, then typically I have something to hide, and it's probably not something that's a trustworthy decision. So that's something I've learned is, you know, if I've done all the mistakes I've made, basically is what I'm trying to say, is I wasn't telling people what I was doing. I was doing something on my own. And now it's like, I like to reach out to, you know, Ryan, you're one of them, and my other closest friends and trustees, where I could say, hey, this is something I'm going through. I may or may not take your advice, but I just wanted to at least tell you, because in the past when I didn't tell people, that's how I, you know, made the wrong choice. I still got to learn from it. Like, we know experience is the greatest teacher, and pain, like you mentioned, can be a wonderful teacher as well. And just reminded me when you brought that up that I look at pain like an acronym to pay attention internally now. You know, it's like if we're feeling pain, it's because something happened that just wants us to pay attention internally now. So we're out of, on that note, we're out of time for this week. And Ryan, you did shared some amazing codes. Thank you so much. I look forward to the next episode, and we'll be back with more codes.
A lot of wisdom in what you said there in that code. But yeah, we'll be back again with more codes.
I love it. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah. Thanks, Alex.